And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial, and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca on our online streaming service. Now, today we're going to be doing a live interview on a subject we've been wanting to cover for a month or so, something that alternative publications and media in the city have not perhaps given due diligence to yet, and which our own media, corporate media, has only covered in the smallest way. And of course, that is major advances in the BDS campaign, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions campaign here at McMaster. As I said, that's part of a campaign that's been sweeping North American universities as well as other universities across the world. This is something we're having our own window onto a global event right now. And we have two experts to talk about that with us today. The first is Yara Shefani, and she is the incoming president for SPHR, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. Yara, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, we also have Ryan Sparrow, and he's been a BDS coordinator on this campus, helping the events move along and come to the point where they are today. So Ryan, thank you also for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Brennan.
Listen, both of you have seen at least a year of activism on this topic. I'm sure half of our listeners are familiar with BDS because, you know, we've interviewed people from Independent Jewish Voices and from MMPJ and SPHR and all sorts of organizations in the past. We've been covering the Gaza Arc recently, and there was some sabotage done to that, but they're not deterred at all. They're pushing ahead with the Gaza Arc. People can look that up online at gazaarc.org, I think it is. But we have our own big success here in Hamilton, here at McMaster. That is a huge thing moving the BDS campaign forward. I'm just wondering, for the other half of our listeners who might not know what the BDS movement is, could you tell us just a little bit about the basics of what it is?
Yeah, so Boycotts, Divestment, and Sanction was a movement started in 2005 by, I believe, over 100 and I couldn't give you the exact number, 150 perhaps Palestinian civil society organizations who made a call to adopt similar tactics against the apartheid state of Israel that the South African activists have. So what Boycotts, Divestment, and Sanctions is to advocate for boycotts of goods made in the occupied territories or goods being profited off by the occupation. The sanctions is of course, government-level sanctions against government figures and the apartheid policies of Israel. And divestment is getting institutions and individuals to take money out of firms, also engaging in you know, these illegal and apartheid-like activities. Yeah. So that's generally what Boycotts, Divestments, and Sanctions is, and that's what we've been advocating for at McMaster over the past, well, a little bit over a year, but over the past year, we've made it the main centerfold.
Yeah. There's a definite, you know, sort of South Africa parallel here. I know some of the people involved in the movement were involved in the South Africa boycott struggle as well, although the particulars here are different in some respects. It relates to the major Palestine solidarity movement all across the world that has to deal with this ongoing occupation and violations of UN resolutions, the ongoing struggle of the Palestinian people. You know, given the significance of this campaign, would you be able to tell us, either of you, how you ended up being involved in the BDS campaign?
Well, for me, I'm actually Palestinian, so it's something that's very close to heart. And growing up, I always would hear my grandfather tell stories about how he was, you know, how he had to leave in 49 actually, and flee to Lebanon, and how he always dreamt of going back, and that was never really an option for him, alongside over, I believe, 5 million other refugees that were displaced, or that have been displaced with the conflict. So for me, it was something very personal that I decided to get involved with. I think it's a really important issue that campuses need to discuss and sort of kind of work a nonviolent way to get this conflict solved.
And myself, I've been involved in numerous social justice causes for years. And I mean, Palestinian solidarity is not the only type of activities I engage in, but it's quite clear that the Palestinian people are facing egregious attacks on their dignity and at the same time being heavily rewarded by major economies in the terms of subsidizing their military, companies profiting immensely off of war crimes. And then at the same time, our institutions, it kind of just ignoring or whitewashing a lot of the activities that are going on. And in particular, we see Harper and his government taking a more pronounced stance that they are on the side of basically the war criminals that are in power in Israel right now. So for me, it makes logical sense, if you stand for justice, to stand with the Palestinian people.
It's been decades, really, that Palestinians have been struggling to get the land back that the United Nations has said is theirs, to end illegal occupation. I know there's a number of families that have come to Canada. People still have the key to the household that they had to leave behind. It's a very personal issue. You know, what's interesting about the BDS movement, Palestine Solidarity Movement, is the way it brings people together. And this radio program and the activism we've had in Hamilton, the activism that's going to be happening Sunday, for example, which I'll talk about a little bit after, you know, it's brought people together, as I said, from organizations like Independent Jewish Voices, from MMPJ, from SPHR, from campus groups. I know people from Occupy McMaster were present at these sorts of things. So it's something that people can recognize, the need for justice in a situation of ongoing suffering. And here at McMaster, you know, there's been progress on the issue, just as there's been progress in terms of the debate across Canada. I mean, you have magazines like The Walrus or similar publications in Canada that are finally bringing up the issue, you know, that it's something you can talk about now. What about Palestine? You know, what about the occupation? And that was something you couldn't really talk about in polite discourse in you know, the Canadian mainstream media. But it's coming up more and more, and it's owed in part to activists on campus. So I know that the campaign's gone forward here at McMaster. I'm just wondering, in terms of SPHR, for example, or the BDS movement more generally, what steps did you take in the last year or perhaps just over a year to bring this campaign forward, you know, advance the BDS campaign on this campus?
Well, I mean, universities all over Canada have passed a BDS motion. So for us this year, we decided that it was time to get it going at McMaster. And there had been quite a few victories in the past 2 years, even in the past year, across campuses, not just in Canada, but in the US and overseas as well. So we began organizing about a year ago and decided that we wanted to get together and figure out a way to start promoting the campaign. So during Israeli Apartheid Week this year, we brought up the BDS movement quite a bit. We discussed it while we were tabling, and we were trying to get people as informed about the issue as possible, with the knowledge that leading up to the General Assembly, we were planning to push forward a BDS motion. So that was one of the main things we wanted to do, was try to get the word around, whether that was through social media, Facebook, Twitter, as well as tabling on campus and talking to students and explaining to them what the real issue is and all of the different things that have been happening in Palestine and Israel, and the ways that these issues need to be brought to the center of attention, and how important they really are, and how important it is that our university is not complacent in these issues. And that's something that's very important to us, is to make sure that our university stands on the right side of history.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, when you have these tables, for example, where you discuss BDS with students, or you talk about the need for the university to engage, what kind of discussions do you end up encountering? Like, what do students think, or what does a university think?
Well, I couldn't tell you exactly what the university thinks, because they were either good on or bad that they were more or less silent on the issue this year. But by and large, students, they're not so much apathetic to these issues. They're more so cynical, on the grounds that they don't believe that their voice matters, or that anything can be done about the issues. They care about them. It's just they don't know how to see change. And I think that's one of the major things that we need to overcome. But by and large, students came up to us and said, yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to be at the General Assembly. I mean, this wasn't just like, you know, a week of tabling or something like this. This was you know, months and months of pre-work where we built a strong coalition, had lots of one-on-one conversation with different student groups, And seeing where we had similarities and where we could find some sort of joint interest. And I mean, there's a lot of student groups where we found natural alliances with, including like First Nations Student Alliance, who endorsed the call after we spoke with them, just because of the oppression of Indigenous people here in Canada. They saw common cause with the Palestinian people. But, yeah, I mean, by and large, you know, you always got, you have a student or two that, you know, just doesn't really care. But I think for the most part, students do care. It's just they don't know how to see change.
And if I could just add to that, a lot of the times when tabling, I found that students were really surprised. So you tell them about the issues, and a lot of students might not really have much of a knowledge when it comes to general world politics, and they hear about these issues and they're so surprised as to why they haven't heard about this in the media, why haven't they heard about the apartheid wall that's been being built, and you know that's illegal under international law. Why haven't they heard about this, or the checkpoints, and you know, even you talk about the blockade on Gaza and the 2009 attack on Gaza, and students are shocked and they can't believe that this is something that they haven't heard of. And so it just takes a little bit of conversation and showing them, you know, you can look at this website and have a look at giving them a bunch of resources that they can actually look at outside of mainstream media, which doesn't really cover this issue extensively.
Yeah, everything about this issue is sort of an attention grabber when you think about it. I mean, a lot of the work is already done for you. It's just a matter of getting people aware of it. The apartheid wall, right? It's three times taller than the Berlin Wall. It's this, if you've ever seen anything, it looks like it's out of some science fiction movie. You know, it's this huge thing in the desert with these guard towers with automated machine guns and stuff like that. And the occupation, of course, the borders or the lack thereof, this is something that there's been countless UN votes on, and they've all been against the Israeli position on this. And, you know, it takes a real lot of effort to keep this out of the Canadian media, to keep this off the campus. And all you have to do is tell people about it, and they're shocked. They're shocked if you talk about Canada Park, you know, the fact that three villages were raised to create this, you know, what they call Canada Park there. And, you know, Stephen Harper goes and there's going to be a bird sanctuary for him, and there's all these embarrassing things he's involved in personally. And, you know, when people hear about it, it offends their sense of justice, because this is not what Canada is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be a balanced arbiter on this. We never have been, but we're supposed to be. And under Harper, it's gone just completely one-sided. All this is happening in the background. There's been activism on other subjects and BDS itself for some time on campus, but you've actually made some things happen. So I want to get to something, that really exciting issue, which needs to be talked about. And of course, that is the vote that you are working towards. And, you know, Ryan, I know a lot of students are cynical when you talk to them and they think they can't do anything. And both of you and your groups were fighting that sort of cynicism. You were fighting against that. And from the outside, it looks pretty good, actually, because when I was at that meeting, I attended the vote as an external observer. The level of energy there was very high. The level of interest and excitement, it was all very politicized, which is not necessarily what student governments sometimes want to be, which is political, involved in real issues and world issues and things that are sweeping all across campuses. But you had so many interested people come out. So could you tell me about that particular day, that particular vote, in terms of who came and how you organized it to get this vote happening?
I mean, one of the major part of getting the vote out was talking to a lot of the organized student groups out there, first and foremost. So reaching out to religious students, reaching out to students in cultural clubs, reaching out to students in political clubs, reaching out to faculty societies, reaching out to even just recreational in other clubs, just to let them know about some of the issues, so that they can let their members know about, you know, an important vote happening. But then as well, doing just outreach. So going to libraries, going to the student center, doing class talks, letting people know that it's really important to come out and vote on this particular issue. One of the biggest barriers I would say that we'd had was that the MSU, McMaster Students Union, had no promotional strategy going on for this General Assembly. Really, what they planned on doing was printing out about a little under 1,000 leaflets. I could be wrong in that number, and put up about 50 posters around campus, and have a failed turnout like there was the year previously, when only about, I think there was 50 to 60 at peak. And mostly it was all McMaster Student Union insiders and you know, staff people and stuff that turned out to that event. So for us, one of the major barriers was getting people aware that there was actually a General Assembly going on. So me personally, I created a Facebook group just to advertise the General Assembly, just to get people interested, tell people how they can submit motions to the General Assembly. There was some other people that wanted issues addressed at the General Assembly, and so I helped them craft some motions on accessibility and whatnot. So there was that, and then we also had the second important thing of advertising BDS. So we had to advertise the actual General Assembly, inform people what it is, but we also had to inform people on the issues. So it was sometimes wearing two hats or two roles, not necessarily exclusive of each other, but something where we had to express the importance of the student voice and student democracy, but at the same time highlight human rights abuses that are potentially being funded by your own institution. So that was a huge barrier that we had to overcome, and we did. And we had, at one point in time, very, very close to quorum, and we would have actually exceeded quorum at the meeting, which, in case you don't know what quorum is, there's a requirement of a certain amount of students in the room at a particular time during the General Assembly to have its decisions being binding on the McMaster Student Union membership. So that number for this year was 633. And if I'm not mistaken, there were still people coming in. We peaked at about 620. Mm-hmm. Could be a little bit more than that. Seeing that their side, the right wing, Zionists, side was dwarfed by the students clamoring for justice, decided that, democracy was not a thing that they wanted, and they left the General Assembly. They took about 100 people with them.
And if I could just interject as well, we had submitted our motion at the very beginning. I think we were the first ones to submit the BDS motion. And a week later, an anti-BDS group submitted a motion basically to ask the student union not to take a stance on any international crisis or any international issue that's happening. So basically what happened was their motion, the anti-BDS group's motion, was placed before ours. So the first hour of the General Assembly was basically a huge debate as to which motion should be placed first. There was an accessibility, a few accessibility motions, and the anti-BDS side was attempting to say, well, you should place those motions first. They're very important motions. Let's put them first, even though the person who had submitted those motions had asked for the BDS motion to be placed first. And, there was this bickering back and forth and a debate going on. And, the crowd was overwhelmingly voting for the BDS motion to be placed first. So I guess upon realizing that, the majority of the people in the room were pro-BDS or at least wanted to hear the debate and make a informed decision, the anti-BDS side, I guess, decided that, the accessibility motion they had been fighting for was no longer important. And so they all got up collectively, 100 students all at once and walked out of the room claiming they felt uncomfortable. Even though the people that were actually making anyone feel uncomfortable was there was a lot of filibustering going on, during the assembly, where you had students that were really just trying to tell their story. Salah was trying to tell a passionate story, a real story that he's experiencing as a student at McMaster and as a Palestinian student. And there was a student on the anti-BDS side that continued to interrupt him maybe 3 or 4 times until the speaker had to ask her to stop. So there was just that's kind of what was happening during the assembly, which was really unfortunate.
Yeah, a lot of time wasters happened at that meeting. And in part, it was, I would argue, due to the chairs just sloppy chairing. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but there was a lot of new procedures put in place for this meeting where it took up actually more time than we've ever seen at a previous General Assembly, which included, even though you would have seen like an overwhelming majority vote in favor of a motion, they had three or four people just individually counting every single person in the room. And you can probably imagine if you've got over, almost 600 or so students in the room at any one point in time and having to go through many different filibustering motions and voting on each one of those, that just the act of voting took up a lot of time. So it was very unusual abuses of Robert's Rules of Order. Some chairing that I don't know how intentional it was, but made the meeting last a lot longer than it should before we could actually discuss these important issues. And I just want to say, the person who did craft the accessibility motions was someone who was really upset that her motions were being presented as less or more important than BDS. It felt to her that there was some sort of competition going on, and this was being promoted by some of the Zionist students, and completely ignoring her request that motions be submitted in the order that they are presented, kept trying to reopen the debate over and over again, even though the debate had been had. And it was clear that, 80% of the room, over 400 students, just wanted the discussion to go forward. And I mean, when after the walkout happened, there was maybe five students who kept disrupting the meeting. So, one of them even said, point of order, or point of personal privilege, I have an exam at what time was it? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, I have an exam at 8 o'clock. Is this meeting going to end? And then the chair repeats the comment and said, and then we just basically pointed out that that's not a point of order, that is irrelevant. And then there was other things where they made points of personal privilege. Someone's on the stairs. It's a fire hazard. All these really bizarre points of order just to interrupt people. And there was even at one point in time, there was a reporting period where questions were being asked of the president. And this one woman, Sarah Silverberg, who was also the one who said, I have an exam at 8 o'clock, proceeded to go to ask a really, really long-winded question about what is the communications officer position, and described all the job details and all these other things. Clear disrespect for the student voice. And unfortunately, the president of our student union, David Campbell at the time, thought this was a question that he should entertain. So when we actually got to the actual discussion, we had basically 3 minutes left of this 2-hour meeting to actually talk about the issues. And when he had his 3 minutes to talk about it, he was continually interrupted. Mm-hmm. So as Yara mentioned a little bit earlier, couldn't even talk about his own family's suffering and potentially how he's being somewhat complicit in the fact that his student fees might be going towards some of the atrocities back home. Kept getting interrupted over and over again. When he finally got to speak, we couldn't have a discussion because they wasted so much time on filibustering the meeting that we had to proceed directly to a vote, as we expected, students overwhelmingly voted in favor of BDS. So we had about 520 students in the room, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, around that.
And
I think over 300 voted yes.
I think about 350, the exact numbers you can find online, 350 probably voted in favor of it. And then there was abstentions, people who just didn't vote, take part in the vote. And I think there was maybe about 60 or so that voted against it. So you could clearly tell the the appetite of the student population. And this was after Israel on Campus and other student groups had engaged in pizza parties and other things to try to pull out their vote, you know, trying to bribe students to come. So it was a very, very interesting and very difficult moment of time for students, very frustrating meeting. But at the end, you know, people were celebrating and very happy, at least, that we got to this stage.
And if I could add one thing that's really interesting is that leading up to the vote, the anti-BDS group had a Facebook page in where they were advertising reasons why you should vote no to BDS. And one of the advertisements they had circulating was a quote by Jeffrey Doucette, who was the VP of Finance at the time, a quote saying that, you know, this issue was too complex and that the university basically should not be getting involved with that. And they had, you know, I think they even had his picture on there. They had the quote and his name as well as his title. So basically kind of trying to make people believe that it's the student union endorsing this quote because his title was on there as the VP of Finance, when really it was just a personal quote of his that was kind of taken out of context. Or
no, it wasn't taken out of context. Well, it was he said, but
he added his title to it, basically.
Yeah, he wanted to make that implication that, you know, the student union's on one side of this issue.
Yeah. So yeah. That's something interesting that happened in the lead up as well.
You know, it sounds like both of you and the groups you're involved with are really trying to add some participation and democracy to the proceedings of the student council and student body. You know, I don't know about the interpersonal dynamics of everything that happened, not being a student presently at McMaster, but certainly it looks like there certainly was a lot of filibustering going on, ways to technically prevent votes from occurring and ways to try to technically delegitimize it. But you had an overwhelming majority of support for the BDS idea. You can probably get an official quorum if you don't run into further bureaucratic obstacles in the upcoming year. So it's possible we may do a follow-up interview where we can look at maybe your PR strategy, where you plan to go from here, and how you maybe can get the official support for BDS. Whether it's an issue that campuses should be discussing, I mean, this is a discussion that had to take place back in the 80s around South Africa, and I guess this discussion is still happening today. So there's a few interesting elements we can continue to unwrap from this, but it's a huge success to bring McMaster together with those other universities that have been moving towards BDS, and they have gone officially in a number of North American, U.S. and Canadian universities. So hopefully McMaster can join the rest there. In any case, we got to get going, but there are related events happening. This Sunday, if you're interested in this BDS and this movement and everything that's happening in the campus groups and non-campus groups, there's going to be a demonstration at the front entrance of the Hamilton Convention Center on this Sunday between 5 and 6 p.m. So the Hamilton Convention Center, that's the building across from City Hall. Between 5 and 6 p.m., the demonstration is in protest of the Jewish National Fund, which is it's a charity which you can give money to despite its involvement in illegal activities and dispossession. So there's people that want to cancel the charitable status of this. You know, it has a lot of prestige. Steve Paikin is there. He's a television personality who's going to be honored this year. The groups on the outside of this, they're protesting this, just like the campus groups involve themselves in BDS. So everyone's welcome to come on down to that 5 to 6 p.m. this Sunday, June 8th, at the Hamilton Convention Center. You should go to the Facebook page if you can find it. A nice photo from last year's demonstration. It was a real great demo. And, of course, I know there's something with provincial politics happening. Ryan, can you remind us about that?
So from my understanding, Unifor has been organizing buses across the province to have tea with basically Tea Partier Tim Hudak on Monday at noon at his constituency office in Beamsville. So if you can make your way down to that, it's in Beamsville. And I'm sure his office is listed online. But, if you want to join a bunch of people to greet Tim Hudak, come on down.
Great. Okay, so that's a wrap for today. You can go to either of those events there. We're going to wrap up for today. Our guests were Ryan Sparrow and Yara Shafani. And, of course, they've both been heavily involved with the BDS campaign this year. So thanks very much for listening. And until next week, take care.